And we welcome everyone back and joined now by Raven Sample, who is a member of the track and field team for the United States Paralympic track and field team. Raven, welcome to the show. Congratulations on a great accomplishment.
Thank you very much.
All right. Now, this is going to take place, obviously, in Tokyo. So what have they told you? What do you have to do now to make sure that you're able to go? What are the protocols that they put forward for you?
So I'm not entirely sure about the protocols. I've heard a little bit, bits and pieces of, more so of how long it's going to be taking. So I was at a camp in Chula Vista to train last week, and they were talking about how some of the able-bodied Olympians were at the airports, and it's taking them about 5 to 6 hours just to get out of the airport due to all the COVID protocols and making sure they're tested correctly and all of that.
Amazing. All right, so now you're at the trials in the 400. What was the feeling like when you crossed and you knew you made it?
For me, it was just because going into the race, I knew that if I had won, I would probably be in a pretty good spot. Certainly, I needed to also run a good time, but I knew that through winning would be, putting me up for that good spot. And at that moment, it felt like all the work was over. And truly, the next week when we got our decision date on the Thursday following the end of trials, before that happened even, I knew that there was no reason to be stressed about this meeting. Like, all the work had been done during trials, and it was the same thing after the race. All the work had been done in the past 50 seconds. Like, I couldn't change anything now. It was just I have to wait and see now.
Well, in Minneapolis, you ran 50.34, which is just off your Bucknell best. Back on the 27th in that tri meet, you ran 50.29. Could you just tell as you were going along that you were on a pace that was pretty close to your best?
I certainly felt like it was a good race. Certainly, there were some parts where I want to fix up a little bit going into Tokyo. Certainly, the beginning and the end. The beginning, I just didn't get out of my blocks. Like, it just didn't click in that moment. Certainly, it was probably a lot of nerves going on, a little bit nervous about the race, and just didn't immediately just, I got to go. So that took about 30 meters to finally realize I got to race and I got to go fast. And then the last 50 meters, I was tying up a little bit, and then a little work there and get a stronger finish. And I certainly see myself going under my Bucknell PR, but, during the race, it felt good. It felt like I was racing. So, and that was something that, it's been kind of hard sometimes because, there's either, the competition's a little bit high, a little bit low, or like the meet's not the greatest day, but that's something that you go through with the sport. But that day, the weather was great, the competition was great, and everything just felt in line like it was a good race.
What did this past season mean to you at Bucknell, especially to get back out on the track?
So after the long COVID break and everything, it felt so amazing to finally be doing the sport I love again. Certainly I love training and, I wouldn't trade the world for even having the ability to just go out and practice every day. But a meet is just so different. Like, it's kind of, that's where you're able to, I've seen quotes like Usain Bolt, he said, I've spent years to run 9 seconds. That's truly how track and field works. The back end work is spent so much in this, practice time. And, you do so much behind the scenes that the meets are really your greatest opportunity to show what you've been working on. And, having that back was just, it felt perfect.
You mentioned what you want to work on between now and then. So you want to get out of the blocks quicker. Obviously, you feel you can make up. I don't know how many hundreds you can make up by getting out of the block. Has that always been a priority? I mean, it's going to be a priority for any runner. But is that something you've always had to really work on, the exit out of the block?
So during high school, I actually had not used blocks. I was one of the racers that Stan started. So my first year that I was going to use blocks was my senior year of high school. With COVID canceling everything, I hadn't really gotten to use them. And then going into Bucknell was my first true year of using blocks and kind of learning something different. Certainly with my disability, I've taken a little bit of a different route compared to some other athletes. A lot of other athletes in the para scene who have, some sort of arm disability, what they tend to do is they'll have like a wooden block or something to extend themselves up. So like if their reach isn't as far down as they would need, they would substitute that reach with, per se, like a wooden block.
Right.
For me, I took a different approach to this, and I've begun using a different design of blocks that allow me not to, it's more of a, I think it would be considered a two-point stance, more of like a standing start, but the blocks exist more so to, you know, stop me from dropping back. You know, I've, you know, really appreciated the work that Coach Alexander's helped me, you know, help me do to get better in these blocks. And really, moving forward, there's certainly some improvements I can make. And, you know, I'm just excited about what I can do there.
Is there almost like a formula in your own mind in terms of how to get out where there's a not only a comfort level, but a potential explosiveness that you've almost had to do through trial and error?
Mm-hmm. So one of the things when I first was starting using these blocks that I remember Coach Alexander talking to me about was, you know, when I come out, you know, it looked like the wheels were hitting the ground with me running. It looked like the wheels were hitting, but the wheels weren't grabbing. And that's kind of what I've been thinking about a little bit more moving forward. Like when I come out, it's not just, you know, I have the explosion to come out, but I got to be putting the power into the ground to really make use of my start. Whereas before I would come out and it was really just kind of weakly going through the motions. I would use the blocks, but it wasn't like I was getting that power going forward. And, you know, since, you know, that conversation, of course, moving forward and thinking about it more and more and how to improve that, I certainly think I've gotten a little bit better at, you know, instead of having the wheels spin when it hit the ground, they really grab and, you know, I get going.
You know, you've been in the course of your lifetime, you know, and let's just talk about Bucknell. I mean, you competed in the 200, but you've been in the relays and the 400. What is it about the 400 distance that's made for you as opposed to another distance?
So I've really, truly loved the 400. I think it's a lot more of a mental thing than it is a physical thing, honestly, because for me, I just love that. You know, a lot of people call it one of the hardest events, and I would agree with that. It is certainly one of the hardest events. So because it's a long sprint. The whole thing is a sprint, and really, I've enjoyed, you know, in high school, I dabbled a little bit in the 800, the 1500. You know, I did cross country as well. That slow burning distance of, like, energy, I just didn't completely, you know, I didn't work with it all the time. Like, I had to really work hard to get to where I was for distance. Whereas with the 400, it just felt natural. You know, it's a kind of longer burning flame, but it's still bright the whole time is the way I think about it.
How have the people in Jamestown reacted to this, knowing that they have somebody going to the Paralympics on August 27th?
There's certainly a, you know, everyone's very surprised. You get the, this doesn't happen very often. Not many, you know, this doesn't, you know, nobody really comes from this area and has, you know, this kind of success. And certainly the amount of support that I've gotten from, you know, hometown, not just Jamestown, but all of Western New York has been so overwhelming. And really just, it feels great to be able to kind of showcase, you know, what for me was Section 6, you know, Western New York area, what we have for athletics and what we can, you know, what we can create. Certainly, you know, I've also had a lot of help from Bucknell. So now it's not just about, you know, what can Western New York create, but also what can Bucknell University make?
Yeah, that was going to be the next part. The support you received now from the Bucknell community, what has that meant to you every step of the way?
So for me, like, it was first when I got to Bucknell, it was a lot of emotional support. And a lot of people didn't completely know that because that, you know, so I had experienced the passing of my grandmother. I'd lived with my grandparents throughout my entire childhood. And my grandmother had passed away the day I moved into Bucknell. So that was certainly a hard thing to go through. But going to Bucknell and, you know, when I visited prior in my senior year of high school, it felt like home. And then going there as a freshman, the people felt like family. And the people were just amazing, the staff, the students, the local community, everybody. So it was just, it felt great. So from an emotional stance, like that really helped healing a lot from that pain. Mm-hmm. And then from an athletic stance, like I have, you know, great coaches that have worked with me to make sure that I am able to kind of pursue these, you know, opportunities as they come. And certainly, you know, not being an able-bodied athlete, it does change a little bit how I work. You know, on the track, Coach Alexander doesn't really have to alter my stuff all that much, but especially Coach RC has to, you know, reinvent how I'm spending my time in the weight room, because a lot of the stuff that the able-bodied athletes are doing, like, that's just not, you know, completely possible for me. So between all the coaching and the communities of, you know, both areas, and especially now at Bucknell, like, I've just, you know, I've begun thriving a lot, and I see myself, you know, growing past where I even am right now. I mean, I'm still pretty young in the, like in the scheme of, you know, Paralympics. So I hope that, you know, in the next coming years that this isn't just the beginning, but, you know, there's, you know, a lot higher heights to hit.
Off that answer, I've got two questions. One is, how long did it take for you after you crossed the finish line in Minneapolis to think of your grandmother?
So for me, I've begun not just finishing, but during beginning the race. You know, I think of the promises I've made to not just my grandmother, but also everyone else, you know, around in my community. And so I begin my race thinking about, you know, those people who they gave me, you know, unthinkable amounts of support and how thankful I am for that, and how this race and every other race that I got to compete in, like, it's an example for them. It's, you know, it's showcased not just for myself and my own abilities, but a showcase of what their effort and their, you know, their help has created. After I finished, it really felt like, you know, the sun opened up, and, you know, my mom had, you know, helped me get through all of that. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the promises that I was making were slowly coming into being completed. And I needed to, you know, certainly trials wasn't the end, and I certainly have now, especially since I've gotten closer into the, you know, United States paratrack and field scene, like, I know there's higher heights I got to go to now. You know, my, you know, there's still goals ahead for my future career of, you know, in paratrack and field. You know, I want to be making national teams soon. I want to be trying to break records for T45, you know, obviously medal, and, you know, obviously continuously do well at an international level. So it's a growing process of, you know, how can I keep representing, and how can I keep honoring the support that everyone has given me, especially my grandmother?
All right. So then the other question I had off your previous answer would be about your teammates. You get mm-hmm. to Bucknell, not the easiest time for you to get there, as you talked about the passing of your grandmother. You talked about the support the coaching staff gave you. What about the support you received from your teammates, the encouragement you received from your teammates? What have they meant? Because as a freshman, this was an all-new experience and all-new people to meet.
Mm-hmm. So the team at Bucknell, especially my sprints group, I really love. They're great people, they're fun people, and, you know, they're hardworking athletes. In high school, like, I hadn't really had a full-fledged group of people. You know, I had one or two, three guys, you know, a small group of guys that, you know, we all worked together. But going to Bucknell and, you know, being in a whole sprints group with, you know, a handful of guys who are all very talented and very good at what they do. And then, of course, you know, they each have their own amazing personality and, you know, each focuses differently and have different views on the sport of track and field. That was just, you know, a very great experience for me. Seeing, you know, not just, you know, being around other high level athletes was just a big honor that, you know, that was a big goal of mine in high school. Like, you know, when I was looking for colleges, one of the big things I asked my coach was, I cared a lot about my academics and I wanted to go Division I. And Bucknell was the perfect fit for that. You know, I've had great academics there. I've been challenged academically, and certainly, you know, I got to that Division I level. So,
how much? You know, it's really great when you're around other athletes that can then push you. Mm-hmm. How much do your teammates push you, and do you feel like you're getting better times because of that?
100%. So with the 400, you know, there are some guys that I certainly, you know, there's certainly some standout guys that I think about of, you know, who do I want to be at practice each day? Because who is, like, what I see very good at different things. Certainly, you know, graduating senior Alex Desoy, like, he was kind of like the mentor I had. Like, you know, I saw myself as kind of a younger him almost when I came in. And I wanted to definitely be, you know, up close and, you know, trying to stay with him during practices and stay with him during races. That was certainly a big goal of mine. You know, another freshman, Matt Perello, and, you know, an upperclassman, Kevin Boyle, like, they're our short sprinters. They're fast. I want to be fast like them. I want to be able to have that speed. And, you know, other guys like Caleb Wooten, guys I, you know, work right with every day, you know, they're just, I'm working with them. I'm working to try to be not just better for myself, but better for them, because they're putting in hard work along with me. Like, that's what this is all about. It's not just about, you know, I'm there to, you know, beat every guy on the team. You know, I'm there to kind of grow with the team, because we're all putting that hard work in. We're all trying to get better. And, you know, that's what matters the most.
You've represented Falconer High School, mm-hmm. which, as I told you before we started, I've actually have been to. You have represented and continue to represent Bucknell. What does it mean now to you to represent the United States?
I know when I got my Team USA, you know, jersey and the kit and the package of everything, that was just, that was phenomenal, honestly. For me, like, up until that point, like, everything along the process, you know, the decision date, finishing the trials race, all that just felt peaceful. But my firework moment was opening up the gear kit and seeing that Team USA jersey sitting right on top. Like, that was my moment where it just, everything felt like I was on top of the world, because it's just, you know, that's the dream, you know. It's, this is truly Paralympics, and, you know, this level that I'm at now, that's, it's truly the top of the mountain. And, you know, there is higher to go on the mountain, of course, but, like, that's, this is the highest level of competition. And it's just so baffling that I'm, you know, I have the opportunity to be able to compete at that level.
Well, you not only have everybody in Western New York rooting for you, you not only have everybody in the Valley rooting for you, now you're going to have everybody in the country rooting for you. Congratulations on a great accomplishment to this point, and best of luck in reaching all the goals that you want, Raven. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.